Now, back to Dimitri, live and dangerously local on Big Willie 105.5, River Talk 1290 AM, 100.1 FM, 100.9 FM, and 1430 AM, a River Network production.
Download the River Network app and then click Big Willie 105.5 to get Dimitri live and dangerously local. Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern Time. You can also hear me on the River Talk Radio Network, 100.1 FM, 100.9 FM, the Mighty 1290, and the Sturdy 1430. It's the audio path of totality. And then Thursdays and Fridays, it's Dimitri Encore and Dangerously Local on the River Talk Radio Network, not Big Willie 105.5. Just wanted to let you know also we're doing a Facebook live stream of our show. We do it every day. I'll never understand why anybody watches. I swear to God, I'll never understand why you're watching. I'll never understand it. And yet they do. Thousands of people watch every day. Literally thousands of people. I still can't wrap my mind around that either. Want to get back to State Senator Chris Rose, but I want to read you just a little bit more of his editorial, which was quite good in the Intel. The first part of it was great. And also regarding this president and CEO of Appalachian Power, this guy, Aaron Walker. And let's see, it goes on and on. Such a move would put Appalachian Power, Wheeling Power's industrial rates at a woeful 39% among all U.S. states. 39th, excuse me, not that percent. A woeful 39th among all U.S. states. My bad, I didn't read that right. Now, here's the next thing, the next graph. This Aaron Walker, who is the president and CEO, who says, I don't think I'd say substantial. I don't know what you mean by substantial when it comes to rate increases. By the way, 72% increase residential customers since 2018. You talk about a clueless CEO. But here's the other thing. Walker even let slip that he understands, quote, constant adjustments to rates can be a challenge to customers. For many customers, challenge is an understatement when discussing that kind of a hit to their monthly budget. The 4,241 letters of protest to the PCS received can likely attest to that, the Public Service Commission. This Aaron Walker sounds like a just beyond clueless, absolutely beyond clueless. State Senator Chris Rose, do you know this Aaron Walker? Is he as clueless as he appears to be in this editorial?
So I don't know him personally. I've never met him, but that's definitely some statements that's going to cause them some damage control, because I don't imagine that's going to go very well with their customers in West Virginia or anywhere else, that they would dismiss a rate increase to that level as they don't know if it's substantial or not. We definitely have to do better about combating these things and putting more checks and balances, because if they're not sure that a 62 or 72% rate increase is substantial or not, especially when Americans are still dealing with the aftermath of Bidenflation. Yep. And living paycheck to paycheck. I mean, you talk about a blunder of a statement for a company to have to do PR damage control on. That one takes the cake.
Yeah, I'm sure they're going to be sending out Erica Storch saying, oh, he didn't mean that. He's not as dumb as he sounds, or, you know, whatever she's going to say regarding that. But my God in heaven, this Aaron Walker, it's just so outrageous. Speaking of outrageous, the West Virginia Public Service Commission, how many members does it have? 3, 5, 7? What are we looking at?
So you have a board of 3 that are appointed by the governor, and they have, you know, I think Charlotte Lane is the one that's going to be up for reappointment or not, so it'll be up to the Governor Morsi if she continues. But every so many years, one of the 3 members has to be reappointed by the governor. And once they're appointed by the governor, there's some rules that we, again, as a legislature, issue, but at the end of the day, we don't have legislative oversight over them, but that has to change.
So who appointed the 3 that we have now?
The 3 that are currently serving, which have been from governor administration to governor administration, all have been appointed by Jim Justice last.
Good Lord. Really? Justice appointed all 3 of these people, and you're telling me they all worked for the energy companies?
Yes, so many people at the Public Service Commission, the people on this board and people that work for them down below in the Public Service Commission, have all worked for electric utility companies or have a significant background in this. So it's not like, forgive them, they know not what they do, because they definitely have a background in this industry and this sector. And they all are very well connected with these electric utility companies, know them very well, know their backgrounds, and like I said, many of them even have careers with them. So it's not like they don't understand what they're doing with this. They know full well what all is going on here. But I can tell you something else that we're going
to before we get to that, back to these three. Are these the top? What is the official title for these top three people that make all the decisions?
Well, it's the Public Service Commission Board. They're like commissioners of that board.
All right, so three commissioners, right?
That's right.
All right. Do these three commissioners all have a background working for the energy industry, for the power company?
Yes. So they've all worked for a power electric utility in one fashion or another. In some capacity, they have that experience in their life. Yes, sir.
Then it's beyond outrageous. It's like the FDA and big pharma. They just go back and forth. You scratch my back, I scratch yours. I'll give you a nice job if you give me a nice ruling with the Public Service Commission. It's the same thing with big pharma and the FDA. It's like they've merged, they've morphed into one. I think that's what we have here, if I'm understanding you correctly.
I mean, you could certainly make that argument. I mean, I can't dispute what you're saying.
My God in heaven. So what are we going to do about this now, Chris?
Well, Senator Mike Stewart, who is going to be confirmed to the Department of Health to work with RFK Jr. and be gone and out of the state Senate, definitely had some ideas and some legislation last session that we need to pick up and continue to push. And again, I'll reiterate, part of that is, one, you could put the Public Service Commission under legislative review of the state legislature. That must happen.
Yep.
And another idea he was entertaining was making these elected by the people. Put the public service commissioners on the ballot and let the people of West Virginia choose who their public service commissioners could be.
Yes.
There's definitely an appetite in the legislature to do that right now, and we've talked about doing that next session, and I think that momentum on that idea is actually growing.
Now, is that going to be just in the Senate where the conservatives, where MAGA's in charge, or is that also going to be the House of Delegates where the RINOs are still in charge?
Well, most of those conversations have been held in the Senate. I mean, there's a few of my allies in the House that like the idea as well, but the House would be the challenge to pass that bill. I mean, I definitely will tell you right now, the Senate is more conservative than the House, and the House will be where the challenges are getting these bills across the finish line.
Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. We still have some time left here with you. I know you've got to run your very, very busy schedule. Live exclusive interview with West Virginia State Senator Chris Rose, 2nd Senate District. Great guy, hardcore Trump guy, hardcore MAGA Nation guy. He is one of us. There was something else you wanted to talk about this morning with our listeners. What was that?
So there's a couple other things that we were wanting to talk about. So one is, as energy chairman, obviously I have some unofficial Senate duties of promoting West Virginia coal, oil, and gas to the rest of the world. And, you know, I'm going to D.C. again later this week. I've already been there before when the tariffs first started, about selling West Virginia coal to our allies in India and Japan and Italy to help win the tariff battle that Trump and China, you know, Trump has, you know, with China, America has with China. Well, now with everything going on with Iran, and I know there's now peace talks and things, but I still think it's a good opportunity to, you know, Iran has a lot of natural gas, a lot of crude oil. Well, West Virginia has both, and why not go to our allies and have them buy from us? This is a good opportunity to hit the reset button with their allies and who they buy their energy from.
Yeah.
Our European allies have a golden opportunity to cut ties with Iran during this chaos, during this turmoil, and do a reset on who they do trade with and trade with the United States, and who better than West Virginia.
Yep, yep. I think that's great. What are the odds of that happening, especially selling coal to India, which I would think would be a natural for us because India is the biggest country now on earth with population, and it's a democracy, largest democracy, and Trump is trying to get rid of the high tariffs that they have imposed on us there in India. What are the odds of making it happen with India? Because I would think that would be a grand slam for West Virginia.
So we've actually increased sales to those three countries, and that was back right at the beginning of session. It was actually the first task I ever took on as a senator before my hand even hit the Bible and was officially sworn in. I was already working on that because I wanted to make West Virginia as immune from the tariffs as possible, because while I know they're necessary, I know it does hurt our exports, and that's why I went to our allies that had a more favorable trade deal with us and encouraged them to buy West Virginia coal, and they did. But now it's trying to encourage them to pick up some more of it because, you know, we do have some of our mines are slowing down due to the tariffs now lasting this long.
Oh.
The one way we can mitigate that is to get them to buy more West Virginia coal, oil, and gas.
All right. Now, I know you're very tight. You don't like talking about it, but you're very tight with the Trump family and all that. What exactly is going to be happening with the Trump administration to free us to capitalize on this incredible reserve that we have of coal and natural gas? Is there anything coming down, any executive order he's going to sign, anything that's going to be codified by our useless Congress that will actually open the floodgates and we can finally take advantage of this incredible opportunity that we have with all of this coal and natural gas?
So there are members of Congress in West Virginia and Wyoming that are trying to codify his executive orders that he did earlier this year on coal to try to, you know, we got to think past. We have President Trump for, you know, these 4 years, but we have to think past that. What happens after that? So we got to codify it now.
Yep.
Because as great as Trump's executive orders are, an executive order issued by a president can be rescinded by the next one. So that's why these are great. And he's giving them the roadmap if they'll follow it. If they'll just follow President Trump and his MAGA movement, if they'll just follow that roadmap and put their neocon, you know, career deep state Republican values on the back burner, because we didn't vote for that. American people voted for America first. They voted for the policies of President Donald Trump. They don't want George Bush. They want Donald Trump. So if they will ignore what they have been taught from birth as a career politician and embrace the America First movement, which is the reason why Republicans have a majority in the House, Senate, and we have that beautiful White House back, then we can set America up for success to come with the energy underneath their feet. And another thing that Trump's investing in, and I think we've talked about this before, he wants to win the war for big tech, AI, data centers. He wants America to lead the way in the world with that. And West Virginia energy is going to play a huge role in that with these data centers and these microgrids, because we absolutely have to beat China in tech. If we do not win this war on tech, they will gain a military advantage over us. It's not just for technological advances, it's for national security.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize what's coming with artificial intelligence and the power that you need in order to make this thing work. It's an incredible thing. I'm starting to use some of that now, and I was told that you need 10 times the power for an AI search or query as you do for a Google search on DuckDuckGo or something like that. It's like an enormous amount of power. And we're sitting on all of this incredible power here in West Virginia. The fuel, the coal, the natural gas, the oil, it's just mind-boggling to me. It's like, come on, let's take advantage of this thing because, you know, AI is going to need it. We're here. It's a natural. And by the way, we're not too far away from Washington, D.C. I would think it'd be a win-win for everyone, Chris. I really do.
No, I agree. And to put in perspective, folks, what Dimitri's telling you here, a 1 gigawatt gas-fired power plant or coal-fired power plant, some of these data centers he's talking about, like the Google search ones, they're big enough, they consume, like you could build a 1 gigawatt coal or gas-fired power plant, and that one data center would consume every bit of electricity that thing could generate.
Yeah.
That's the game-changing opportunities for West Virginia energy in this AI, in this data center fight to, you know, for technological supremacy. That is how much big of a game changer this is going to be for our state.
No question. Chris, we're almost out of time, and I always give my guests the last words. You can speak directly with all of our listeners here on Big Willie 105.5. Say anything you want. State Senator Chris Rose, dear friend, my microphone is yours.
Absolutely. Thank you, my friend. Fellow West Virginians, I greatly appreciate your support as I wrapped up my first legislative session. We're now in the interims part of this, and we'll have some special sessions going forward. We've got a lot of big freedom wins this year together, but the fight is not over. We are going to beat the establishment. We are going to beat these neocons. We're going to beat these rhinos and Democrats. West Virginia will lead the way in the America First movement, and we will always put West Virginians first and ensure that Mountaineers will always be free. Thank you, and God bless each and every one of you.
Indeed. If people want to get in touch with State Senator Chris Rose, how do they do that, Chris?
They can call me at 304-314-2656. Then go to my website at chrisrosewv.com or reach me on social media at chrisrosewv.
Fantastic. State Senator Chris Rose, keep up the great work. Whatever we can do here at Big Willie 105.5 and Dimitri Live and Dangerously Local to help you, we will. Just ask. We're 100% all in, okay?
Thank you, my friend. I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. State Senator Chris Rose, a great guy, absolutely terrific guy, and we are very, very lucky to have him, I got to tell you. Really lucky. Thank God I endorse this guy. All right, fine. So download the River Network app and then click Big Willie 105.5. You get Dimitri live and dangerously local Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern Time. You can also hear me on the River Talk Radio Network the same 3 days. 100.1 FM, 100.9 FM, the Mighty 1290, the Sturdy 1430. And then Thursdays and Fridays, it's Dimitri Encore and Dangerously Local on the River Talk Radio Network. It's the audio path of totality. Take a short break, and then Middle Creek Garage. What do you know about this Middle Creek Garage in Tridelphia? Have I got a story for you.